Welcome to Roots Pod, an audio production of Roots Blog and member of the Rootscast Broadcast Network. We have a full house tonight in the studio. Peter is once again out, but in his place, we've got two fellas. We've got Steve. You remember Steve. And we've also got Big Wayne from La Brigada del Pueblo, along with myself and John. First of all, Steve, welcome back. Wayne, welcome for the first time.
Thank you. Thank you.
We had, when Steve was on a couple of weeks ago, we had him explain his primary supporters group, the Homegrown Hooligans. So maybe you could do us a solid and also explain to us a little bit about La Brigada del Pueblo or the Town Brigade. What is La Brigada's oeuvre, their mojo? What's their vibe?
The brigade is a lot of following the tradition of like kind of politically active supporters groups coming at it from the left. We have Courts of Unity and Google Sheets and stuff like that. So we're just super organized. But it's also kind of funny because we all end up being like the old people. Older. So, but it's just a lot of like anti-fascist, anti-capitalist, pro-community, pro-LGBT kind of stuff. And we're just very passionate about like Oakland as a whole. Like we're definitely like we're obviously a root supporters, but we're going to be heavy into the soul. And I also sneak beers into 510 games. So I'm just everywhere. My spring is going to be a mess. I expect me and everybody who goes to like all six games over a 3-day span. It's going to be.
It is commitment.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's a lot of Modelo required there.
I definitely got to get a Costco amount.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hop right into talking about week one. Oakland loses 3-1 to the defending champ San Antonio FC. San Antonio got the scoring started in the 12th minute. Nico Hansen, their second and third goals were one of the more preposterous braces you'll ever see from Lamar Bautista, who, before the last match we had said, you know, this might be a great time to get San Antonio because their roster's still coming together. As a for instance, look, here's this guy in a 25-day contract they picked up off the scrap heap after the Rochester Rhinos folded. How is he going to contribute? Well, with a lot of egg on our faces now. He had a bicycle kick in the second minute of first half stoppage time, and then an absolutely missed accidental, but also incredible volley from about the halfway line in the 73rd minute. Roots got on the board on Memo Diaz's 53rd minute strike off the face of somebody. That was pretty satisfying to watch, I'm not going to lie. But one goal is not as many or more than three, so the Roots take nothing from their trip to San Antonio. Steve, let's start with you. What were your big impressions of the match, of how the Roots played, of really anything you want to talk about that's related to the match?
Well, I mean, first I want to say that I feel like there was some positives to take away from the match. It's not like it was, I mean, let's be real, these guys are the defending champs. Just because they didn't have 20 guys on their roster or whatever, you know, they still had brought back, what, seven of their core?
Of their starters.
Of their starters, yeah. So yeah. They were out there strong. I mean, you got to give it to San Antonio. They still are able to hold their own, it looks like. I do really like what we're going with, though. I mean, I feel like once we have kind of the midfield a little more locked down, I think it's going to be – I think we're going to be good. Like when Trayvon Reed came in for the few minutes that he was on, he looked great. You know, he had some nice moves. I really enjoyed watching Pelaez. I can't wait. I want to see him for 90 minutes, and I think he can play 90 minutes. I mean, Memo, as always, is still Memo. You know, I love watching Memo out there.
Yeah, I'll echo two of those things, right? Reed and Pelaez to me looked like they're ready to go. I thought with Pelaez, maybe you could see that he's coming from a league that is not quite at the level of the USL. You know, I think the speed of the game seemed to have caught him off guard at the very beginning, but he looks the part for sure. And even though it was a 2-goal deficit, I'm a big fan of XG just to sort of, not as a be-all and end-all, but as a way to sort of contextualize what you've seen and maybe show that things were better or worse than they looked. And we don't have Optus data. We do have 538s, and they have it as even, actually, a Roots 1.8 to 1.6 for San Antonio. So, you know, I think the Roots did a lot of good stuff out there. It just, the bounces didn't necessarily go their way on the night. And there were also, like, big portions of the game where I think San Antonio had the upper hand. But all in all, it was a pretty encouraging performance. Wayne, what were your sort of takeaways?
Well, from a pure numbers game, like I was saying, it's technically better than we did in the final, since it was 3-1, 3-0. So there's a silver lining.
Three also, more matches. We got him.
Rito is still a problem. Like, that guy is alarmingly fast. And so fast, I'm concerned that we should enjoy him this year, since this is his last year on the contract, before some big bad MLS team comes and swoops him up. I did enjoy a lot of, I think, as opposed to San Antonio, we had a fair amount of shake up and rearrange. So I think it's going to take us a little longer to come together. And we also have a bunch of strikers coming in still working out with visa stuff. But I think what we have this year is hopefully after the last umpteen years, we have a vision from a singular coach that will stay for an entire goddamn season. That'd be nice. So I think that's important. He obviously, coach, led us through at the end of the year. I always think it's a long season, and in Roots fashion, we'll probably make it interesting the entire time. So, and I also am excited to see them in person, because not to be disrespectful, but the USL camera work is shoddy, and we end up watching like a random ass for like 2 minutes while there's a play going on.
And the main camera was like in another county.
Yeah,
you're sitting at the back of the bar watching this camera that's so far away from the action, it couldn't tell who anybody was.
But I think, I mean, I'm not discouraged. I mean, I feel like the pace is good. I saw a lot of flashes that just need to click in, because, like you said, like a few bounces a different way, it's a tie.
Yeah.
So
did you guys think, I was very impressed with Rito's crossing. I thought that was by far the worst part of his game last year. There were so many times when he'd get the ball to the edge of the box and the final pass was, it was nowhere near the quality it needed to be. And he put a couple of really good balls into the box, I thought. I mean, do you guys agree? It looked like he really put some work in on that aspect of his game.
Oh, yeah. I think his assist to Memo was the best pass he's completed in a Roots uniform. Honestly, it was on the button. You couldn't have done it perfect. Actually, that whole buildup to the play is just ridiculous because, when Nane has the ball, before he passes to Napo, Rito's on the right wing, literally sitting down.
sitting down.
Like, I've never seen that. You even see, I put a picture of it in my recap. You see the ball boy looking over at Rito while he's on the sidelines saying, this guy's really sitting down. And then 2 seconds later, he's up, gets the ball, sends in the cross, and gets the assist. So, to the point on Rito, I thought he was, amazing. The offense, especially through the first half, flowed completely through Rito.
Oh, everything, yeah.
He made a couple breaks past defenders from midfield all the way down. And he could have had another assist early. So, that was very encouraging. All in all, like we mentioned, it was an encouraging match. Yes, you concede two goals, but two of those goals are by mistakes. And it's hard to even call
the third. Yes.
It's hard to even call the third goal a mistake, because the guy he's playing a pass into the striker who is making the run and totally mishits it.
He apologized immediately.
He says he's sorry. If you're is someone close to him, be like, dude, don't apologize, because now no one's gonna believe you. You keep your hand down, everybody thinks you're amazing. But anyways, you know, Paul sees the striker making the run. So Paul is already starting to approach out of net to greet the striker making the run and catch the ball over the top. Well, the ball over the top, I don't know, somehow takes a gust of wind in the flatlands of San Antonio, and it frisbees into the net. Like, I don't know.
Oh, and it was, I mean, it was this close too, right? Because didn't it hit off the underside of the bar? Like, if it had hit in, you know, 3 inches in a different direction, it might not even go in.
I mean, what a day for the guy. Like, the sports gods, the soccer gods were really looking out for this guy. They said, you're going to have a day today. Enjoy this.
He said he has 25 days to prove himself.
You have 25 days.
I wonder if San Antonio picked up that.
Yeah. How many days left around that contract? And can we negotiate? Can we
negotiate? Get him over here.
Transfer. Because we could use a 7 foot tall 25 year old. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah. That was insane.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about two of the things you just mentioned, John. So first, one of the Roots' major looks did appear to be like, let's just find Rito, get him the ball and let him run with it for sure. That's like half the offense, maybe two thirds of the offense. The other look seemed to be from the back line to one of the forwards or the wingers. That seemed to be the other look they were trying to, the other sort of pass they were trying to look for. It's not altogether clear that they've sort of figured out who needs to be on either end of those passes yet. But let's talk about the first goal, because the first goal happens following a move kind of like that, right? Emre mm-hmm. has the ball. Emre's the right center back in this back three. And he drives up the field and the ball is turned over. And then Nico Hansen, who ultimately scores, gets into the space that's been vacated by Emre. And I mean, he did not look arse like to run back. He didn't look like he was chugging back, like there was any urgency in his tracking back. And Hansen is alone on the edge of the box and puts it past Blanchett. I think a lot of the immediate reaction was, what the hell is Emre doing there? But if the plan is to have those line breaking passes, those line breaking runs that come from the back line rather than the midfielders, because we only have defensive midfielders, then the mistake is probably somewhere else, right? Someone else should have been covering that space. And he's probably, I mean, he should have recognized, I think, no one was there, but he's probably thinking, where the hell is the person who's supposed to be covering the space?
On that play, I mean, I thought it was an example of what Delgado is looking to implement in his system. And it just caught them bad here, because everything with that play up until the giveaway when Emre plays the ball to Johnny was looking good. You know, it was a quick 1-2 from Emre to Lindo, back to Emre, and then Emre played it on his first touch straight to Johnny, and, you know, Johnny couldn't corral it, and, you know, he, you know, honestly has to do better there because it started the counterattack the other way. Emre's way out of position. I mean, everything prior to that point was looking great. And then, you know, you give the ball away at midfield, and it's a quick turnaround, you know, straight to Hansen, wide open there on the left side. So, I mean, I knew right when he started stepping into the box, like, oh, he's taking it into the right. And I mean, it was too wide open. But, you know, it was that product of, you know, just a lack of execution at that final moment. I mean, I would have loved to see how that play is different if Johnny can corral that pass. I mean, it would have been so different.
It did look like his game, that's not his game. You know, that dropping deep, picking up the ball ahead of the back line, it did not look like in this game like that was a strength of his. Probably why he didn't play a whole lot last year, you know, to be honest. You don't need that in a super sub. And I think when we've talked in the, you know, before about our belief that he's going to be an integral part of the team's success this year, it's almost always in the role as a super sub. You don't necessarily need that skill as a super sub, but it did seem like it held back the squad a little bit in this match, because, you know, those passes are going into him, and he wasn't able to retain possession. I mean, he was not the only one. The San Antonio was first to most balls. They were first to most second balls. It was, I mean, you could see why they're the defending champs, why people think they're going to do well again this year. At the same time, I mean, Oakland held their own. And one of the things we haven't mentioned yet is that Jordan Farr had to make like three or four outrageous saves.
Diving saves, I think. Yeah. Four diving saves, like really good.
And I think another improvement that I saw from the final was I felt like in the final they were like just knocking us around. Like it was like two different leagues almost. Yeah. But this time I felt we were much more physically up to the task and on par with them. Like I did not feel like they shoved us around like they did last year. I felt we held our own much better.
Yeah. I think the second half was where it kind of was where we were able to really see that we were able to hold our own.
Like, it clicked in a little bit.
That second half made me feel a lot better. But like I said, that random freaking goal that happened, you know, that's the only thing that that really kind of threw that second half off was that random goal.
They were looking good up until that point. You know, it looked like the goal was coming. And then
all of a sudden,
the wheels came off. Yeah,
momentum changed.
Yeah. That was a, it did really suck the wind out of the proceedings, which is, it's too bad because it did look like they could hold their own. I'm very encouraged. And the fact that they came out in the second half and looked a lot better is to be totally expected, given that as much of this roster, the starting 11 was on the squad last year, you know, they had a whole off season with Delgado. This is really the first time a lot of these guys are playing together. It makes sense that they'd come out a little sluggish. All that, you know, all things considered, it is a pretty encouraging performance. It's just annoying that it's an encouraging performance with 0 points and not one or three.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but hey, you know, I really liked, just to reiterate what Steve said, you know, Trayvon Reed looked great just in the 7 minutes he was on for regulation time. I mean, that shot was,
oh man,
it was sweet. You know, break two guys and then a beautiful curling shot in from the left side to the right post. I mean, that's what you want to see. Well, you want to see it go in, but also, you know, it's Jordan Farr. You gotta, you know, hope that doesn't discourage the guy anything, because that was, everything was good. You know, it was a great shot. That, yeah. Keep doing that. You know, I'm really eager to see, you know, Trayvon Reed for a full 90 and Plyce for a full 90. I like that Plyce came in, took like two touches, and then took his first shot on target. You know,
and right, it was on target.
Right when he came in, you know, didn't even think about it, and you know, that's what I like to see, because I remember, you know, at times last season, Charlie Dennis, there was a lot of second guessing when to shoot, you know, passing off, making almost too many extra passes. Like you got to be decisive in the final third. And, you know, hopefully that's what we get from Plyce, because I mean, it was nice. Hopefully, you know, continues to line them up. You know, and they're accurate.
Yeah. Right. If they generate chances at that rate against San Antonio, they're going to generate enough chances in most matches to win, or at least draw. They're going to be in every game if they keep playing like this. You know, the other thing we haven't mentioned yet that I think is worth mentioning is that Paul Blanchett looked like he had worked a bit on his distribution. You know, that was not a strength of his in the past couple of years. You regularly saw quote unquote goal kicks being taken by center backs, but you know, he got the ball down the field with a little more accuracy in that match. And I think a goalie's ability to distribute the ball is not a make or break thing, but it's a nice thing to have. And it's nice to know that he might have that in his locker now, at least a little bit. The other thing that I feel like we need to note is that even though he didn't walk out of there with a win, Oakland smashed two balls off the faces of San Antonio players.
Yes.
So I mean, we left our mark.
Oh, and not to mention that, but also I believe Johnny dropped a knee into Jordan Farr's face.
Yes, yes.
Which is noted because Jordan Farr is a
piece of shit.
Piece of fucking shit for trying to place the boot back on Lindo when he...
That's right. That was him.
So Jordan Farr deserved that knee and possibly...
On our top five player hater list. He's taken Tom Brewitt's spot on the blog's player hater list.
Jordan Farr is by far one of the top. Yeah, by far.
Yeah, he's a weird dude, too. You know, he just be spitting all over his gloves the whole game. He's a weird guy to cover a game and have him sit right in front of you because he's always moving, always stretching, doing calisthenics. And, he has some weird antics.
Let's not forget.
Spits on his gloves a lot. Like, he's a weird guy.
Let's not forget the pencil-thin 70s porn stash that he's got going, too.
Yeah. If he hears that, you know. If he hears this, Jordan Farr, fuck you.
Oh, no.
All right. It's a spicy season.
Spicy.
All right, well, let's take a quick look around the league for the first week. Not a whole lot to note. The things that stood out to me, Memphis 901 FC losing by 2 goals at home to Loudoun United. That is a shocker.
Oof.
Other things to note, old friend Juan Guerra drew in his first match this season as head of Phoenix Rising. They drew 1-1 with Charleston Battery. Orange County hosted Louisville City and lost 3-1. San Diego hosted Detroit City and San Diego won, which I think, all things considered, we'd rather Detroit City lose. Other thing to mention, keeping with the theme of us totally missing our predictions in the first episode, or the last episode, rather, we had suggested that Monterey Bay, the hype around Monterey Bay, such as it is, might be a little undeserved. And John specifically called out Alex Dixon, their new striker signing, was distinctly unimpressed. Dixon went out and scored a hat trick in the first half of Monterey Bay's 5-3 win over Hartford Athletic.
It's because
I know what I'm talking about.
We were made to look like fools last week, man. Between Batista and Dixon, we really just nailed it.
I mean, you get what you pay for.
Hartford sucked last year. Maybe Hartford just still sucks.
Hartford might not be very good. Did they hire Todd Ramos, though? I mean, I think they're looking up, but it's got to be a whole new roster, and they're on the road all the way across the country in the first week. I mean, that's pretty rough. I'm not sure that Monterey Bay fans need to get too excited about a 5-3 win here.
But they are.
I mean, I would.
I would. Be.
I know God I would. Damn.
Yeah.
Did we score 5 points? I would.
No, they don't need to listen to our cautionary words. But anything else around the league stick out to you guys other than RGVFC, who we'll talk about in a second, or it's week two opponent?
Just getting dunked on by Monterey. You know, we got to take that one head on. Hopefully it's just Hartford sucking rather than Monterey being good.
So,
because I still think, yeah, I'm encouraged by Roots. Of course, one game in, we all have to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see how it works out. I was not overly impressed by Monterey. I'm still not overly impressed by Monterey's off season. So. Bring on the games.
It's probably also worth mentioning that old friend Charlie Dennis appeared to have a pretty good game in his first appearance for Tampa Bay Rowdies.
I mean, to be fair, Charlie always looks good.
That's fair. He's like an improved version of Jack Grealish out there on the pitch.
Yeah. Grealish technically stole that hairband look from him, probably, you know.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Charlie's older.
Charlie's a little older, right? Yeah.
Therefore.
It's effective.
All right, let's talk about Rio Grande Valley that will be Roots' week two opponent. In their first match of the season, they hosted Las Vegas Lights. They drew 1-1. I have only seen the highlights, so what I will say is that it looked like Rio Grande Valley probably outplayed Las Vegas. Vegas's goal was an own goal. It was a free kick into the box that The clearance went awry. It was the fella connected with it. I don't know who it was. He connected with it and he shot it right off the ass of one of his teammates and into the net.
It was good.
The RGVFC goal was from Ricky Ruiz, who it was the completed version of that Reed strike. It was, you know, a curler from the edge of the box past the outstretched hands of the keeper. They had a couple other opportunities, it looked like, to take the lead and just couldn't capitalize. But John, I think you and Steve actually watched the game. What kind of insights do you have from that viewing?
Well, I mean, watching it, I mean, Las Vegas had control early and I was like, ooh, this is looking great. This is very encouraging. You know, they RGV gave up an own goal early. Las Vegas very much on the front foot. And then Ruiz scores just a worldie from the edge of the area.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
I mean, but you know, yes, RGV kind of built into the game, but it kind of glazes over that Las Vegas is not a good team. You know, Las Vegas lost a lot of players, and they had some teenagers out on that field. Mm-hmm. One of them got a red card.
At the end of the game, he had just came on the pitch. He got it after like 10 minutes, that's true. He came on, got a yellow, and then immediately got the second yellow and was sent off. It was ridiculous.
So I mean, Las Vegas, I mean, you lose Trejo, you lose Cal Jennings, you don't have striker options to make up for that. I think their best player, most developed player, looks like a defender. Definitely looks ready for the next level physically. To draw with Vegas, I mean, yes, it's a game one, but also, you know, this is a team you got to put away every time. I mean, this is a team in a bad situation, and RGV just couldn't capitalize. So, I mean, before the season, I was not, you know, enamored by RGV. I didn't rate them highly, so that was encouraging to see going in to see them this coming Sunday. So, just based on the two games, I would have to say Roots are the favorite. I haven't looked up Vegas. I don't even know if USL has Vegas odds. I think they're working on that, but I would think Roots are the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because, you know, RGV came out and just looked very discombobulated. And,
yeah.
You know, at first, you know, watching the first 10 minutes of the game, it was like, ooh, this is going to be, I kind of don't mind playing them next week, but this is going to be fun. Although they eventually worked themselves back into it, but you have to be, like Vegas had control of the game until maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes into the second half. That's probably when RGV started to figure some things out and they started clicking a little bit better, and kind of took control of the game more. But for Vegas to have had as much control of that game that they did was a bit surprising, considering, like, you know, what John said, that they had lost pretty much their entire roster. I mean, so they still have, you know, something in Vegas, but I don't see it being – I feel like they're going to be the Hartford of last year, right? Like, they're going to be our bottom-of-the-table team for this season.
Yeah, they're my wooden spoon.
Exactly. They're the ones that you have to beat, you know. RGV, I'm not too worried. There's nobody on there that I'm like, ooh, better watch out for that guy. You know, but also – they do have the ability to catch you on that counter. Like, they, after watching the second half of them figuring it out and putting it together, they were able to counter pretty well. So I didn't like that, because I know we're not the greatest on getting back on defense sometimes for counter attacks. But I think we're going to be okay. I still say Roots win. Roots win all the time. Roots win all day.
My concern, and I say this as an old person, is the travel sucks, because they had to go to Texas, back to Texas. Now they're going back to Texas again, and they're going to like, there's no easy way to get
to Edinburgh, yes.
Like, because I think last year I was like, oh my God, I want to go to the home opener. And then I'm like, no, definitely. Yeah. Or not the home opener, but their opener. I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to fly to San Antonio and drive for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And pay $400. So I think I that would be my concern from a purely, not from an on the field product, but from like before product.
No, I mean, yeah, traveling
and daylight savings. And oh my God.
Yeah, traveling is a real part of this league and
a
big part of playing in the United States. You know, Noah said it at the media day. What he reminds players is, you know, the season's a grind. You know, the travel is not what you're used to if you're coming over from Europe or these other domestic leagues that these players are coming from. So, I mean, travel is real. You know, I definitely always downplay that in my – you know, predictions, because I'm like, oh, they're pro athletes. They'll be fine. Good. But no, yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
I mean, they're flying a charter.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They're still flying Southwest. I hope they get them that. What's that that thing where you can board early? I hope they get that at least.
Oh, yeah, the early boarding pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, TSA pre-check and all that too.
Oh, they definitely, I can tell you they don't have pre-check because I was they flew out of SFO the same day I did last year to go down to San Diego, I think, for the playoffs. And I was in the long security line behind Carlson, Janssen, and Murad.
Oh, that's
so I can tell you that the team hasn't made them get TSA pre-check. No, I mean, Carlson and Janssen might not be eligible because they would have been here on visas, but Murad could have had it.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Aldrich.
But it's true that this particular travel is tough. That and the cross country stuff. I mean, it's just murder on you. You're just folded up in an airplane and then in a bus for hours on end. One of the things that's in the Roots' favor this week, though, is that stalwart of the RGV FC backline, Eric Pimentel, got a straight red at the end of that match for losing his head. Not in a particularly violent way, but he thought he was going to hit a bicycle kick in the box and just kind of took out a dude. Like, he wasn't anywhere near the ball. And so he will presumably miss this match, which is good. I mean, RGV has actually had a lot of roster consistency, but he played a pretty vital role in the center of their defense last year. So not having him on the pitch is definitely better than having him on the pitch from an Oakland Roots perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do predictions. Steve, let's start with you.
Predictions. 3-1, Roots taking it.
I like it.
Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, Pelaez scores one.
Uh-huh.
Or a brace. And then I'm the other goal could come from anybody in the midfield. But Pelaez is getting one or two.
2-0, I believe Paul's going to get that clean sheet because he's going to be mad as shit. And I think we're going to score on a corner and then also just a play with, like, Rito just, like, doing his best Roadrunner impression and just busting on these fools.
I like 2-0. I'm going 2-0 Roots. Goals from Pelaez and Lindo.
Oh.
All right. I'm going to go 2-1. I just watched the highlights, but that Tomas Pitondele guy looked like he might be trouble on RGVSC. Out of nowhere, they plucked him off like an NPSL roster, Miami United or something. Doesn't even sound like a real team. So I'm not going to predict a clean sheet. I think the winner will be via a penalty. Someone pulls Rito down in the box. I think that's where it's going to be.
Who takes the PK?
That's a great question. Did Pelaez take them in Colombia? Like, that would be an interesting thing to know. Because I don't honestly know who else on the team would take it.
Pelaez took PKs. Reed took PKs in Jamaica. After that, couldn't really tell you.
Yeah, it was all Carlson last year. I can't even recall the year before. Probably.
Didn't
Quincy
try taking one?
No.
You never tried taking one? No.
Didn't someone take one when Carlson was out having a baby?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I was drunk, so who knows?
Yeah. We could have been wrong about that one, too. Yeah.
God, you're terrible at them 2 years ago.
Yeah, we were. Bad. They couldn't decide who they wanted to take.
Yeah, four penalties taken, one by four different people.
Yep.
Yeah, that's brutal. And two of them were missed. And then last year, they were all Carlson. So, and I think everyone who took them, Fall, Hernandez, Americo, and Boquila. So everybody who has taken a penalty for the Oakland Roots in the USL is no longer on the roster. Brave new world. All right. Any last thoughts, guys? Any thoughts about, anything really, life, the Roots?
Before we go, I need your favorite chance out of both of you. I need a Roots baby from you.
Roots baby.
Oh, so good. That's practically romantic.
And Steve, whatever you want.
Oh, God.
For Mela is magic.
Oh, that is
he plays an auto attack. He could have signed a sack, but he said fuck no to that. He kicks it with his left. He shoots it with his right. And when we win the USL, we'll sing this song all night. Oh!
And then it starts again. Yeah. It's beautiful.
On that note, Peter had noted that he thought that we could use Blanchett's name for Bakary Sagna's old chant. I think it was Bakary Sagna. I'm sure it was an Arsenal player. Like that has to be the case. To the tune of "Hi ho, hi ho, we're off to work. We go, Blanchett, Blanchett. He's Paul the Wall, Blanchett." Yada yada. Peter can finish the.
Yeah, we don't care. He's Paul the Wall Blanchett.
I think it's got legs, personally.
I mean, if we're also doing Paul, we all John and I had kind of thought of something, but it's diving sideways, making all the saves. Diving sideways, making all the saves.
If you remember the early 2000s, there was a rapper named Paul Wall.
And, so at the end of that, you would end it with Paul Wall, baby. Same idea.
I want to make a Paul Wall Oasis song. It's like, after all, you're my one Paul Wall. You're gonna be the one that saves it. After all.
Yes. I'm on the wall. You're Paul the Wall.
We can workshop it.
Workshop.
Oh,
all right. We've got a couple of weeks before the home opener to get these all ironed out. Where are we watching this weekend, fellas?
Yes. So there are a couple of SG watch parties this weekend. So besides the one that the team will be putting on,
the team's party on is at Hidden Spot.
Hidden Spot, there you go. Right. Yeah, in Emeryville or whatever. But there's two others that are SG-based. So we have one in Old Can in Oakland off of 95. I believe the address is 95 Linden.
Yep.
Usual spot.
That's going to be the core spot for pretty much most of the watch parties this season. Also, I'm going to be putting on a little Hooli watch party at Frank's Sports Bar in San Leandro. If some people might know it as Por Que No Tacos, they're really, really bomb tacos and a pretty, pretty bomb little food spot.
Oh, say less.
They're fantastic. So we will be there. And then there will also be a few of us at Old Can. So the main majority of the function will be at Old Can. I mean, i.e. the 68s, La Brigada, and the Radicals as well.
Sweet. So we'll see you at one of those places singing any number of pop songs from the last 30 years adapted for Paul Blanchett's persona.
Yes. All chants are welcome. All ideas welcome.
Like, that's right. We got another couple of weeks to workshop this, so we're ready to go for the home opener in a couple of weeks. We'll see you this weekend, and until then, up the roots.